And I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by the Sinn Féin spokesperson for finance, Deputy Piers Doherty. Good morning to you, Piers, and thank you very much for joining us here on the Kerry Today show on Radio Kerry.
Delighted. Good morning, Tras, and to your listeners also.
Piers, I'm going to start with a question that's come in from a listener. They say, will you please ask Piers Doherty how he, if he becomes finance minister, would pay for the services, all the services he intends to provide? We believe all proposals put forward should be accompanied with a budget to justify them.
I agree with that, and that's exactly what we've been doing for the last 10 years as I've been finance spokesperson. We've always put forward a costed alternative budget that shows where we would meet the resources of the state. So in some cases, that's in terms of taxation measures. But also what your listeners, I'm sure, understand is that as your economy grows, then more taxes are brought in naturally because more people are at work. You know, prices increase, more VAT is collected and so on and so forth. So it gives the state more ability to borrow. So, for example, a good example of that, Teresa, is when the government announced the budget last year and last October, they expected that we would be borrowing for expenditure. We've borrowed about 8 billion euro by the end of this year. Now, what the ESRI predicts is that there will be no borrowing required, that instead of borrowing, that we will actually have a surplus of about 1.6 billion. So that's without raising any taxes. That's a difference of 10 billion euro in the state's finances. And why has that happened? Well, it's happened because we've bounced back quicker from the pandemic than what was expected, but also crucially, inflation has benefited the state's revenue. So every time the price of petrol goes up, the state brings in more money. Every time your energy bill goes up, the state brings in more money. Every time your basket of foods goes up, the state is bringing in more money through VAT and so on and so on. So therefore, there is scope to provide additional resources without actually even increasing taxes at this point in time. And that's very clear. And it's not just Sinn Féin.
Would you not praise? Yeah. That sounds suspiciously like praise for the current government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. They're doing a great job by all accounts, by what you've stated there.
No, as I said, as prices go up, you're going to take in more money. You know, the key thing here, like inflation, the budget watchdog that was set up after the last financial crash, when we had to be rescued by the IMF and so on and so forth, that budget watchdog is like very conservative, wants to make sure that there's no return to that era of boom and bust and all the rest. And they made it clear in their report that they published last week that the state from inflation has benefited in the region of 2 billion euro between inflation and growth, yet since the start of the year has only provided about 1 billion euro in measures to support families. So inflation benefits the state. It impacts hardly, it impacts harshly on people in low and middle income earners. And that's why there is scope. That's why not just Sinn Féin, but like the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, the ESRI, the Central Bank have all been saying to the government that you have scope to actually introduce new measures that are targeted at low and middle income earners in relation to offsetting the cost of
is that scope not down to sensible financial policies implemented by this government? Would you give them some credit for that?
No, like, again, what I'm saying is that like, neither would I blame the government for inflation. So I'm not going to give them the credit for benefiting from inflation. So we know what is causing inflation in the first instance. It was caused by the lockdowns that we had at a global level and the supply constraints then as a result of that. And then that it was turbocharged then, particularly in terms of energy, petrol and diesel as a result of Putin's illegal war in Ukraine. So that's ramped up and drived up prices. And as a result of that, the state brings in more money. So, you know, I've never blamed the government for that level of inflation. What I blame the government is not protecting low and middle income households. So there are things that can be done right now, like increasing the cost of, like increasing the rates of social welfare to keep in line with inflation, like cost of living cash payments for low and middle income earners, like reducing the cost of petrol and diesel and home heating oil down to the maximum level that were allowed under the rules, and also reducing rents, reducing childcare and increasing the minimum wage. There's a package of measures that we've been putting forward to the government that need to be implemented now to help so many of those families that are struggling just to make it to the end of the week. And, you know, the Bank of Ireland came out with a report just yesterday in their survey saying that one in three households now are finding it tough just to make ends meet. And for those families, they can't wait till October or till the government get their head, you know, their act together. And they need to see action now. And that's why we're putting down this motion.
But if you do all that, all that you want to do, aren't you in danger of driving up inflation and leading to a situation of hyperinflation so that things actually get worse?
No. The key thing about our proposals is they're targeted. So we need to understand what's causing inflation at the minute. And I mentioned that it's supply side, so it's not demand side in the main that's causing inflation. So it's not the fact that loads of people are spending more money in the economy. It's actually supply side, and the supply side are brought on mainly by two issues. One is the lockdowns that we had as a result of COVID-19 on a global level. And the second one, and the main one really, is because inflation has been driven by energy and fuel prices in the main, is because of the war in Ukraine. So what we need to be careful in responding to that is that we don't cause a different type of inflation, which is demand side. And that's why all of the agencies that I've mentioned are saying that the government needs a targeted approach. That's what we're doing. We're targeting low and middle income earners. We're targeting people in social welfare. We're targeting people who are already paying through the roof in terms of certain costs. What this organisation, like the Budget Watchdog, has said is that the government's measures, nearly 90% of them have been untargeted. So, for example, Fine Gael are arguing for a tax relief that only benefits the 20% of the highest income earners in the state. That's not a good measure, and that has the potential risk of driving up inflation. Whereas if you're providing supports for low-income and middle-income households, that doesn't have the risk. That's about protecting people. And that's what we're doing very clearly in terms of our package.
I can think of one targeted measure that would not drive up inflation, would also help those less well-off in society, and also make those with more to pay pay up more. And it would be a targeted measure, and it would also help address the cost of housing. And that's property tax. The Economic and Social Research Institute, they noted in a very recent report that higher rates of property tax could curb house price growth, particularly that linked to credit growth and purchases driven by the anticipation of capital gains. Now, I suppose some listeners will say to me, why is she bringing this up? This is done and dusted, the whole situation on property tax. But when we're in a situation like this, when house prices are going up, when there is a shortage supply, doesn't it make sense to introduce higher rates that those with bigger houses, with bigger incomes would have to pay? And that would help curb the growth in prices and as a result, help those who are trying to buy homes.
No, I don't agree. I do believe that those which have higher incomes, as you mentioned, should be paying more tax. And that's why we have argued that individual incomes above €140,000 should be paying a 3% additional solidarity tax, and that those incomes would start seeing their credits reduce when they hit €100,000. That in its own, those two measures in its own, would bring in over €500 million to the state. But I think, I think the key thing in relation to property is we need far more supply, and we need to actually use the taxation instruments that we have to actually try and increase that supply. So,
isn't a wealth tax? Isn't a property tax a classic example of a wealth tax? Why is Sinn Féin so reticent to be against it?
We do agree with the wealth tax, and that wealth tax would be a net wealth tax, which would include property. The difference here in terms of the family home tax that the government have introduced is it's not based on net wealth. So you could have a mortgage and to the full amount. You could actually have a mortgage more than the amount of your house. Your house could be in negative equity, and you would be paying out a tax in relation to that. It's not going to increase the supply of houses. It's not going to actually dampen the house price increases. The reason that is happening is because there is an issue in terms of supply and demand. So we need to look at the core issues. So we have parcels of land. So I released figures, for example, that the state sold over land that was held by NAMA to developers that could build 80,000 houses. Most of this land was sold about 5 years ago. At least only 10,000 houses have been built in that. So there, you've got people that are actually holding on to land, not developing it. Why? Because every year that they hold on to it, the land value increases. it's nearly as beneficial for them to sit and do nothing, and the prices keep on going up and up and up. So we would be bringing in vacant land tax. The government are planning to bring in a vacant land tax, which is actually less than what exists. That's the problem here. The second thing is we have empty houses, and you've seen it in terms of the census. In the middle of a housing crisis, we have vacant houses. Again, we have been calling on the government to bring in a vacant home tax. The government refused to do that. Pascal Donoghue forced, his department forced the Minister for Housing actually to change their Housing for All plan in relation to the language of it in terms of a vacant house tax. He then said, oh, we'll have to wait till we collect the data from the local property tax. When that was done, now it's, oh, no, we need more data in relation to energy consumption. The reality is they're not supportive of it. So these are kind of measures that would actually deal with land hoarding and land speculation. And the other thing is we have then these massive investment vehicles coming in that pay no tax on the rental income, no tax in capital gains tax, and they have this unique position that no other Irish company has or no individual has in terms of tax treatment, and they are basically gobbling up all of the units that are being built, particularly in the most urban areas, and that has to change. So there is a role for tax there, but putting up local property tax for somebody living in Kerry, all that's going to, especially if they're in low income, that's just going to make them poor. It's not going to create more houses. What we need to get to the core of this here is the unravelling the government policy of rolling out the red carpet for the financialisation of houses, for the financialisation of homes, and the tax treatment of speculative land hoarding. That's what we need to do with
it. So, but if you talk about wealth taxes, wealthy people are very adept, because they have the best legal advice to avoid or to evade paying taxes, and they can do it legally. And those who say that, you know, that who would be critical of your proposals on wealth taxes would argue taxes are notoriously difficult to design. They also have to strike a balance between generating revenue and not dampening activity. And that if you bring in these wealth taxes, that people will find ways around of avoiding paying them through perfectly legal means. Wouldn't it be a lot clearer, a lot better, and a lot more straightforward if there's a property tax placed on people?
But to sum up that argument is, look, it's too hard to tax the super rich in this state, so let's just tax the poor instead. Like, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that notion. I do understand where you're coming from in terms of, you know, you have all of the accountancy firms that'll help them find ways, and that's why you need to be nimble. You have to do the same thing with corporations, and we do that every year in terms of changing the laws to make sure that loopholes aren't created or.
Somebody with a house valued over €400,000 is poor?
Basically, they may be asset rich, but they may be cash poor. So you could have, and I'm sure there's people listening to your radio that may have inherited a family home, that may be reliant on social welfare, that may be thinking actually of going down the road to the St. Vincent de Paul this evening to actually see if they can get support to actually...
Even though their house is valued at over €400,000, you would argue that person is poor and they don't have any responsibility to pay extra property tax.
No, what I'm arguing here is the fact is, unless you want them to sell up their house to cash in and go and look for social housing or something else, they don't have the means. They don't have the weekly means to go on. In our proposals, property would be captured, but it would be captured if there's net wealth there and if there is a net wealth that can pay these taxes. So we would have a threshold of over €1 million.
How do you capture people who are very good at hiding their net wealth, who have those houses that are worth on paper over €400,000 and are adept at hiding the fact that they actually have wealth that they are in a position to pay property tax? How do you capture them? Is there not a danger that the system could be exploited? Is there not a danger, what I'm trying to get at, is there not a danger that the system could be exploited? That, yes, granted, there are people who have properties and but are not in a position, they may have lost their job, but there are other people who have properties worth over €400,000 and have the means to pay property tax, but are using the system to plead the bail book, as it were. How would your system capture those people who are not honest players in the whole system?
Well, as I said, look, you're always going to play this, you know, game of cat and mouse in relation to people that are trying to hide assets or wealth or find vehicles to avoid paying tax. That happens. It's always happening. It'll happen no matter what government's in place. The best way to capture the tax is actually through the income tax, through the tax code. That's why we've argued for an additional rate on those that are earning individual incomes above €140,000. But yes, assets, when you have assets, some people have private jets in this country. Some people have yachts, you know, that are very, very exclusive. You know, when you should look at an asset tax. Like, this isn't something that, you know, is out of the blue. Like, we've other European countries that do this. France has operated a wealth tax for decades, despite no matter what type of government has in, whether it was conservative, whether it was centre-right or centre-left, they still operated that type of wealth tax. Indeed, Ireland had a wealth tax back in the 70s. Before we had computers, we had a wealth tax. Before we had the internet, we had a wealth tax. It was actually got rid of because it was so cumbersome to administer. It's a lot easier to administer these things, and in fairness, the revenue do an excellent job in trying to ensure that the tax that is to be levied under law is captured. But look, this is an issue of fairness at the end of the day. It's, you know, you've two ways. You can decide to tax, you know, non-income generating assets like your house, you know, you can tax other things as well. Like back in the history of the state, we used to tax glass, you know, of this country, we used to tax glass. Or you can tax income. And my view is that we need to make sure that those at the lowest end, those in middle income earners, are protected. And therefore, the taxes should be levelled at high earners.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That's Piers Doherty, the finance spokesperson for Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin are calling for the budget to be brought, an emergency budget to be brought forward in the Dáil. They say that it's needed to deliver support to workers and families hit by the cost of living crisis.